It's good to see everybody here this morning. Appreciate the song service this morning, Wes. I don't know if you noticed what a nice tie Wes was wearing this morning, but it shows a tremendous amount of good judgment and taste. So, and it's very similar to mine, as a matter of fact. I hope you've had a good weekend, a good break. I always like this time of year. It's a little unusual. I was not in bed, but I was to my chair already by the time everybody started popping their fireworks. And so I got to hear them, but I didn't get to watch them this year. Wasn't sick. I'm just old. Good to see our visitors. It's good to have Pat back with us. It's really, I know she's feeling better now, and it's really nice. Keep Don in your prayers. As Don was getting the house ready, I think he injured his arm some way and want to add him to our prayer list, certainly. It's great to have Brad and Christy back with us again as well, and it's nice to have the Littlefields with us from Canyon, and also Tony from Canyon. She was visiting her mother, and her mother certainly needs our prayers right now. She's been struggling of late, and so we want to remember her as well. But it's just really good to see each and every one of you. I truly enjoy the fellowship that we get to have on the first day of the week. But obviously the most important is our opportunity to worship God and to remember the reason for our being, the reason for our hope with the death of Christ and His resurrection as well. And so we celebrate that. We've been celebrating Independence Day this last weekend. One of the lines within the Declaration of Independence was this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal and were endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." I had to look up the word unalienable. I had an idea what it meant, but I wanted to find out exactly what it meant. And it meant that they couldn't be sold or transferred. Maybe it should mean that they shouldn't be sold or transferred, because so many people sell their souls to the devil. They live for him. They transfer their rights of all sorts of things, from life to liberty, and in their pursuit of happiness, they actually give it up. It's an ironic thing. Speaking of irony, I have watched with displeasure, and I know y'all have as well, the attempt by many to try and divide the country right now. And to a certain degree, these people are successful. I don't know what it is about people that makes them want to divide, but there just seems to be something within people that longs for that. If we have an obedience to the two greatest commandments, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, we're not going to be seeking things of division, but rather we're going to be seeking the things that God wants. And when we get away from those two, the greatest commandments, then nothing works right. And I think as you observe things that are going on today, you see that. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of things that just shouldn't be. And that's why I love the first day of the week, because we can get together and we can enjoy our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can celebrate the fact that Christ died for all of us, though not one of us deserved it. And it's that I want to talk about today, because as so many in America are celebrating Independence Day, one of the greatest things that Christians have is their freedom from the fear of death. That's found in Hebrews chapter 2. If you'd like to turn over that passage, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, really talks about one of the greatest gifts, I think. it's got to be in the top two or three for sure. Hebrews 2:14. "Since the children have flesh and blood," he, talking about Jesus, He too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. This is my favorite part about being a Christian, I have to admit, is not having to fear death. It's a package deal now, don't get me wrong. It's that looking forward to heaven and getting to serve God for all eternity. I like serving God. I don't always do it well. Like you, I fail probably more times than I succeed, but I love the idea of serving God. And if you enjoy your service to God now, and you do it in His way, and you keep coming back to Him when you fail, and you come back to Him on His terms, then you get to be with Him forever, and you don't have to fear death. I have watched people just really concerned about the idea of death lately. I'm not sure that's entirely a bad thing. I think people ought to think about the fact that we're not here forever. But we are forever. Are we not? Your soul is eternal. Tim's class was excellent this morning. Talked about that very thing. You will always be you. It's just going to depend on where you are. Is? I don't know. We'll talk to those who are linguists. Are. But we'll always be us. And you don't, if you are in Christ, you don't have to fear death. We're planning on going to heaven, are we not? Or are you planning on going to the place where you deserve? Because if you're planning on going to the place you deserve to go, that's not heaven. But because God so loved the world, and because greater love hath no man, we have an opportunity to live with God in Christ forever. This is the independence that we have, this freedom from the fear of death that I want to talk about. And I want to start by going back to the time of Israel. In Exodus chapter 12, the Israelites had been in bondage to the Egyptians for hundreds of years. And now they have the opportunity to come out, thus the Exodus from Egypt. In verse 50 of Exodus chapter 12, after the Passover, where the destroying angel came, and for those who had the blood, the pure blood of the Lamb over their doorpost, they were passed over. But for those who did not, their firstborn was destroyed. But for the obedient, in verse 50 of Exodus 12, all the Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that day, the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions. They were free for the first time in hundreds of years. They were going to serve God. One of the most interesting things to me, as you follow the events of the Exodus and the events of the wilderness wandering and the events of them once they got to the Promised Land, is there was always a group of them who wanted to return to slavery. It's one of the most confusing things in the world. Why would anybody want to return to slavery? And the answer is because they thought it was better. They thought it was superior than wherever they were at, whether it was fleeing from the Egyptians, whether it was wandering in the wilderness, or whether it was being in the Promised Land and it wasn't quite measuring up to what they wanted. There will always be people who will want to return to slavery. And when we talk about the fact that we have been freed, after all of our lives being held in slavery by our fear of death, isn't it amazing how many people want to go back under the control of the evil one? And yet they do. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 26, 40 years now after the Exodus, they've wandered in the wilderness. Only those who are under the age of 20 at the time of the Exodus are alive except for Moses and Caleb and Joshua. And Moses is about to die. And so everybody here is at the age of 60 or younger, except for those three. And only, who knows, maybe a third of them, those that were from the age of 40 to 60, would have really remembered their time in bondage. But he talks about what he's setting before him in Deuteronomy 11, verse 26. I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. When God rescued us from the certainty of the fear of death, the certainty of an eternity apart from Him, He then gave us a choice. You now are my servant. We're born again. We're not finished. We're just starting. And the choice is this. The choice is the same as He gave the Israelites. You can choose the blessing if you're faithful. You can choose the curse if you're unfaithful. But He wanted them to choose life. Which will we choose? In 2 Kings chapter 24, this is literally 850 years after the giving of the choice. And now we're going to see the Israelites, specifically the two tribes and the remnant of some who came to be in the northern kingdom of Judah. They're now about to go to Babylon. In 2 Kings 24 and verse 2, the Lord sent Babylonian, Aramean, Moabite, and Ammonite raiders against him. He sent them to destroy Judah in accordance with the word the Lord had proclaimed by his servants the prophet. Surely these things happened to Judah according to the Lord's command in order to remove them from his presence because of the sins of Manasseh and all he had done, including the shedding of innocent blood. For he had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and the Lord was not willing to forgive. Now, after all these years, they were about to go back into bondage, this time under the Babylonians. And only those who were fortunate enough to live, most of them died. There was going to be a small remnant of poor people that were going to be left here. But most of them were going to be killed or they're going to be carried off into the Babylonian captivity. And the reason was because of their sins. He specifically mentioned the shedding of innocent blood. We have a lot to answer for that in our modern times today, do we not? But he also talked about earlier about the fact that they would bring in the idol worship into the temple. And the idol worship wasn't just setting up a statue and bowing down before it. When they talked about the idol worship in the temple, it included prostitution. It included homosexual prostitution. They came into the Lord's temple and tried to do that side by side with the Ark of the Covenant, thinking that somehow God would permit that. And God brought on their heads all the sins that they had committed through this spiritual adultery. I wonder how those of us who are married would feel if our spouse brought into our home while we were there a boyfriend or a girlfriend in our presence. Would you put up with that? Do you think God will put up with that? We read last week where the spirit that God has caused to live within us does so with jealousy, envy. When you and I are trying to serve the world and the sinful things of the world rather than God, that's what's happening. We're bringing into the temple of the God this terrible idolatrous worship, which he calls a spiritual adultery. He won't tolerate it. He'll send us back into bondage if we do that. We talk about Independence Day and we're glad to have our freedom. We enjoy so many things from being free, but it's nothing compared to the spiritual freedom that we have. Don't you have an exhilaration in knowing you're going to be with God forever? Isn't it nice to know whatever's happening in the world, whether it's all the violence and the people not getting along, or whether it's the disease and the threat of disease, whether it's the people behind the scenes doing things that we really don't know if they know what they're doing or not? Isn't it nice to know that we're going to live forever with God in heaven if we'll just choose the blessings rather than the curses? One of the most important things for us to remember about independence, about liberty, is there is great responsibility with that. Now, you and I have to make the decision. We don't have any person telling us how we will worship and how we will live before God, at least none that we listen to the voice of, if we're to serve God well. And yet, so often we use this liberty and we use it in a way that is unpleasing to God. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, God has the Apostle Paul talk about that, warn us about that. Galatians 5:1, "It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Well, we're probably like the Israelites. When Jesus was talking to the Jews and talked about them being slaves, they let them know, "We've never been in bondage to anyone." When he let them know that their father was the devil, they insisted that their father was God and God alone. But what they didn't realize was they had gone back to their old father, Satan, and they were under bondage again. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, now during the Christian era, under the new covenant, we are warned that it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. So we need to stand firm and not be burdened again by that yoke of slavery. In Galatians 5, verse 13, he says this, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." I've watched with just absolute disgust through the years, especially in recent years, when religious groups, people who claim that Christ is their Savior, get together and they start identifying themselves by this sin or by that sin. There are literally people who call themselves churches that belong to God, they claim, who identify themselves as by some type of immorality. And they think they can get away with that. Jude talked about that. This group of people back then were using grace as a license for immorality. And he let them know, you can't do that. There are a lot of people who are doing that today. They think that grace permits them to sin. Grace permits you to come out of sin. Whether you haven't become a Christian yet and you're ready to become one, or whether you've been a Christian and you've gone back into sin, God's grace gives you a chance. But it doesn't excuse your sin. As long as you are in your sin, you are dead to your sin and you are in bondage to the evil one. And you'll spend an eternity with the evil one in that hell that God prepared for the devil and his angels unless you come out of that. Grace has been so misused through the years. It's such a tremendous gift, perhaps the greatest gift alongside Jesus, our Savior, that we have. And yet people have taken that and have perverted it and have essentially moved their idols in beside their worship with God and have taken part in spiritual and physical adultery and thought God would put up with it, thought that maybe it would be different now. "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. When we turn on the news, is that what we see? I know there's a lot of people. As a matter of fact, I would say the vast majority of people, especially the vast majority of Christians, really do love their neighbors themselves. They don't make the news. It's the bad news. I realize that. I was going to quote from Anne Murray's song, but then LaVon would get after me afterward because he knows the song. Every time I bring up a line, he reminds me because he's the only person here that's listened to more music than I have. But I'm going to do it anyway. So you could, but she's got a song that says we sure could use a little good news today. And it essentially talks about somebody getting up and turning on the news and they hear about the fighting and they hear about kidnapping and taking hostages, stealing planes, and how they just long to be able to turn the radio on and hear that nobody robbed the liquor store, nobody overdosed, nobody burned anything down, that everybody loves everybody in the good old USA. And it concludes by saying we sure could use a little good news today. The reason that we look at this is because this is the good news. The gospel is literally the good news of Christ. And one of the best parts of that good news is the freedom that we enjoy as Christians. But we cannot take the responsibilities of that freedom, of that liberty, and use them for sinful activities. Nor can we take them and determine that not only will we do that, that we'll use them as a license for immorality, but then God will just have to accept us in the end. We are free to go to heaven, should we choose, by the grace of God, or we are free to earn our way to hell, should we choose. God will let us do either one. How will you use your freedom? In James chapter 1 and verse 22, he said this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." I used to try and figure out, what is he talking about there? Looking at a mirror and not remembering what you look like, and then it finally dawned on me, we're Christians. And yet sometimes we forget we're Christians. We get so caught up in the world that we forget we're Christians. On the first day of the week, we grudgingly will give God an hour of our time, if we can spare it. During the week, sometimes we'll take a little liberty here or a little liberty there with God's laws. As we go through our life, we start substituting greed and the things that money can buy for God. We even start substituting our time and getting it rather than using some of that time for God. And we think it'll work. We forget who we are. We look in the mirror and we go away and we forget we're Christians. The Word of God is the mirror. It should be reflecting Christ when we see that mirror. Are you seeing that? Verse 25, "The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what he does." This is what God has called us to, is to blessing. But just like the Israelites, he set before them blessings and curses. He literally set before them freedom and slavery. Now, it is true that if we go for freedom, we are going to become a bondservant to Christ. And that's the choice that I want to leave you with this morning as far as something to think about. You can either be a slave to God and free from all the penalties of sin, or you can be a slave to sin and be free from all the blessings of God. Which will you choose with the independence that God has given to you? The invitation is open. You might be ready to become a Christian today. We would love to help you with that. Maybe you need the prayers of the congregation. If you have any needs, won't you come forward and let them be known while we stand and sing?